Father, again, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together. We just thank you for a building that is comfortable, that is bright and clean. And we just take for granted so often that we can just sit here and relax and hear your word and we can just be fed. I just ask that this be spiritual food for our body. We know what physical food does, that it nourishes us, that it gives us energy, that it gives us physical strength. And so often we overlook the spiritual state of our bodies, that we need that food, we need that filling, we need that energy, we need those nutrients to be able to spiritually be strong and spiritually just be able to survive through this world. So I pray this morning that you give us that food, you give us something that we can all take away, that we can all take and utilize and use for our life, so we can bring honor to you and glory to you. We pray for our country. There's just so many crazy things going on and so many things that we just look at and shake our head and we can't believe. And we just like in the Old Testament, so often they just confess the sins of their nation and the things that they did that were detestable in your eyes. And that's what we do this morning. We just bring up the sins of our nation, the things that's detestable in your eyes that this nation does, and just they do it right in your face. So we just confess that. We ask that you hear our cry. That you continue just to look down and bless the United States, just to bless us and our lives and the things that we do. It's with our children that we have. It's so hard to be able to look and see what the future holds. And that's something for us not to worry, because we know that you've created them for a time such as this that they're born into, no different than what you've created us for in this time. So I just pray that you allow us to see what you need us to do, that you allow us to be strong in your ways, that you allow us to just be guided by you. I just pray that this morning that your words may just come forth, that you may use me as a vessel. I am nothing more than just a vessel pouring out your truth. So I just ask that your spirit may come alive, that it is nothing that is standing in the way, whether it be upstairs or downstairs. There's kids downstairs that need to hear the same truth. Your spirit is the same in us. We are no different just because we're older. Your spirit is the same. It shows no partiality from age to age. So I just pray that it works with the kids downstairs, that they're able to take something and just continue to build on their foundation. And again, we just thank you for our opportunity to be here this morning in your presence. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so John chapter 15, if you want to turn there. It is, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Okay, so here we have Jesus saying that he's the true vine meaning that he is the vine. The true vine, Israel, failed. Okay, at this point in this juncture, remember the church age, God grafted in to the tree and to the branches because Israel as a nation failed to do what God intended them to do. Okay, so Jesus is the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So that he takes away is a better translation that he lifts up. Okay, because think of we just replanted some blackberry bushes at our house. Blackberry bushes get crazy, right? They're everywhere. Like raspberry bushes, they're just like weeds. They just grow everywhere. You look at a branch that's on one of these bushes, and if it falls onto the ground, and it is laying on the ground, does that branch produce fruit? It can't, because it's in competition with the ground. The ground, the grass grows up around it, shades it out, chokes it out, does what it does. The rest of the bush is fine, but that one branch is choked out, right? So what it's saying is that the lifts up, it's an action word, that God lifts us up away from the world. Because what does the world do to us? The world drags us down. The world does not allow us to produce fruit, doesn't want us to, as we're going to see. They challenge us, they condemn us, they mock us, they hate us, quite frankly. When a Christian is walking in fellowship, walking in the Holy Spirit, doing the things that God wants them to do, why do you think there's so much activity with the world against them? The world pushes because it doesn't want anything to do with it. The world is dark. It hates the light. It doesn't want anything to do with it. If they've hated him, they are going to hate us. That's what Jesus tells us. So this branch will not be able to produce fruit if it's laying on the ground. Therefore, God lifts it up. Okay? He gave us his son to be able to lift that branch up out of the world, let it lose its grip from the world, and be able to be free, to be able to produce fruit, to grow, to be able to do what it was intended to do. But first, it has to be able to be broke forth from the world. So we cannot be in contact with the world and expect to bear good fruit. So bearing good fruit is something that I want to make clear, that it is not proof of salvation. Okay, there's many things that teach that unless you are bearing fruit, unless you are doing good, you are not a Christian. And that is false. Because you cannot, can anybody tell me, by me just standing outside on that street, by looking at me, by the actions that I do, have I ever in my life, in my past, have I ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior? You can't tell. I can't tell. You can look at somebody and you can say, well, they're not walking in the Spirit, but you can't look at somebody and say that they're saved or not. It's not possible. Only God knows. Only God knows the condition of our soul. So it's not, when it's talking of bearing fruit, this is not anything to do with salvation. Okay? This is, remember, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, leaving them the words as he's going to depart. He's leaving them the instructions, if you will. Bearing fruit is, as we're going to see, why, when it's abiding, the word that's going to be continued to be used is abiding. He abides in me, I abide in him, and I abide in you, and then you abide in me. It's walking in fellowship. It's having that fellowship, that union, that communion with God. So when it's talking about producing fruit, it is not speaking of salvation. It is our works that we do to be either glorify ourselves or glorify God. That's it. That's what we have. Okay, so I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away or he lifts up. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. And we're going to come back to this pruning. Okay, you are already clean. Okay, here we go. We are already clean. That is because of what it told us in 13:10. Remember, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. That's what we talked about before we started. The washing already has happened. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism by the Holy Spirit, the water cleaning, that's already happened. Okay? So, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide. What is abide? That's fellowship. That's the word we're going to use, is fellowship, that you're in union. Do you remember on the board we had the picture of, it was the circle, I should have brought my computer and threw it up there again, sorry, but it's the circle where we're walking with Jesus, and then there was a circle on the outside of that one, that was when we were not walking with Jesus, and then there was the chains around it. It's our choice. When we're walking with Jesus, we're abiding with him. That means we are in fellowship, we're in union with him. How do we be in union with him? We're not sinning. Because he can have no part of sin. So therefore, if we're in union with him, if we're in fellowship with him, that means we're not walking in sin. That is why confession is very important. Because everybody knows this world is what? It's hard. There's things that happen. There's shame, guilt, fear, doubt. There's all of the problems that we have in this world. This is what it is. We're not meant to be able to handle those situations by ourselves. Those are not things we're intended to, that's not how we were created. That's not who we were created to be. Therefore, we're not going to survive in those situations. That's the importance of walking in fellowship or in union with the Spirit of God, with Jesus. It's because all the stuff that the world throws at us, we're not going to survive it. Why do you think the suicide rate is what it is? Because it gets to people. It weighs on people. The guilt, the shame, all that stuff. It builds and it builds and it builds and it says, we can't do it. Well, guess what? It's because we're not meant to do it. That's not where we were created to walk. We were created to walk with Jesus, in union with him. That is why 1 John 1:9 is a repetitive act. It's something we continually must do in our lives. Confess our sins, walk away from it. Because the deeper, as we're going to see, the deeper that we get into sin and we walk away from sin and we stay out of fellowship, if you will, the bigger the world weighs on us and the farther apart that we seem from that light to go back to. We get used to walking out of that. And then pretty soon the enemy just keeps working with us. We've covered the fallen angels and the enemy and what Satan does to us for about the last month. All of that stuff comes into play. And it says that we're never going to, that or not that we're never, but it's going to be so much harder when we're down that dark, deep hole and we're looking up and that light seems so far away. That dark weight is just going to crush us. Because we're going to feel like we can never reach that light that's there. Because we've been separated, we've been out of fellowship for so long. Does that mean that you can never do it? No. That just means that it's harder to do it. And that's the whole point of what Jesus is trying to tell us here. To be able to walk in me, because the weight of the world is going to be so heavy on you, you need to include me in with it. You can't do this life without me. Sorry. You can, but it's going to suck. You're not going to find any joy in life. It's going to be miserable. So, abiding requires cleansing. That's why he opened up with, it's funny how he opens up with washing of the feet. The picture. This is the same conversation, remember? So it goes back to the picture of the washing the feet. So no fruit can be produced without Christ. Period. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. All the things that we do, and we're going to talk about it farther down, is worthless unless he is abiding in us. How does he abide in us? We walk in fellowship with him. All the good things I do, you mean all the money I give away? You mean all the food I donate to the food banquet? You mean the old lady that I help cross the street? You mean all the kids that we help at youth group and do all the stuff at youth groups, all that stuff? That's fruit, ain't it? For my eyes, that's fruit, right? Well, where's my heart condition at? Who's it for? Because if I'm not abiding in him and I'm not walking in the Spirit, it's for Matt. It's not for the glory of God. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's not Jesus working those things out for his good, for his fruit. I will produce no fruit that's going to have any eternal value. It's not going to happen. God could use a knucklehead and use Romans 8:28. He can take all things and work them together for good. So he can take somebody that is not walking in fellowship, but he is, so if I'm just going to use the youth group for example. If I have a crappy day, and then I bring that into youth group at night, and I'm pissed, I'm angry, I'm just out of fellowship, I'm just whatever. But I'm there, and I put my fake smile on, and I pray with the kids, I read them, I say something like that, but I've never confessed and repented of my attitude and my actions throughout the day, and my heart is still evil and wicked from the anger that I have inside of it. Can God use the information that was spoken from my mouth to be able to bless and encourage those kids? Sure. But for me, it does nothing. As we're going to see, that's going to be the wood, hay, and the stubble that on the judgment day gets burned up. Well, it was good. I went to basic. I went to youth group. I did it. I helped out camp. I did all this stuff for purpose so people could see me. Isn't that what it's about? So people think I'm a good Christian? No, because then where's my heart? It's my motives. It's not for his purpose. So no fruit can be produced without Christ. We cannot bear fruit ourselves. And that is scripture, not Matt's opinion. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. I can't produce anything good for my soul. I am not adequate. I'm not. But anything that God does is. So if I allow him to abide in me, if I walk in the Spirit of truth, if I walk in his Spirit, what then comes out of me is adequate for people. Isn't that what we're here for? What else are we here for? As we're going to see. So, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, or he who has fellowship in me, I in him. He bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. Okay. Lack of fellowship. Walking in sin. Here's 4 points that it's going to do. Tells us right here. Thrown away. Our fellowship is thrown away. We can't have it. If I am not abiding in him, if I am not allowing the Holy Spirit to abide in me, I throw it away. Throwing it to the side. I don't need it. Because I'm doing it under my power. I don't need you, God. I'll just throw you over here. So it's thrown away. As a branch and dries up. What happens to our spiritual life when we choose not to walk in fellowship? What happens to your spiritual life? Remember that dark hole that we go down farther and farther and farther, and that light seems farther and farther away the opposite direction? We're drying up. If we do not allow the Holy Spirit to abide in us and walk with us, our spiritual life will dry up. Period. How easy is it when we get comfortable not going to church? It's easy sometimes, ain't it? Because what's happening is our spiritual life is drying up. We're making a habit. We are a beast that we feed ourselves. Whether it be good or bad, whatever we feed ourselves, it's going to come out and it's going to happen. If we don't feed ourselves our spiritual truth, that spiritual nourishment that we need, our spiritual life will dry up. If our spiritual life dries up, how are we going to make it through this life? It's going to be rough, ain't it? There's going to be things that we can't handle. There's going to be problems and situations that get the best of us. Because we've made the choice to allow our spiritual life to dry up. That is the state of the United States today. It's drying up. That's why it is very important to pray for our nation. Our youth group kids. Summer is very hard on these kids. It's very hard. We have 30 to 40 kids at the high school. We have 30-some kids almost Thursday nights downstairs. So a weekly deal, we're dealing with 70 to 80 kids that are all of a sudden, week by week, they're getting some sort of nourishment, spiritual nourishment. And then all of a sudden, it's going to go into the summer and it's going to get cut off. Because there's some that is their church. That is what they do. That's all that they get. So they're going to go on a stretch that has nothing. So we talked about it last night that what we'd like to do is we would like to make cards. So I'll put this on, is cards that on Wednesday, it's going to name the first name of the kids that go to the high school at Basic, all of them that have been there this year. And then on Thursday, we'll have another bookmark that's going to have all the kids that have bound downstairs, first name. And I challenge you, or I encourage you, to take that out on Wednesdays and Thursdays and just pray through the name of these kids. Because they're alone this summer. And they need us as a church body. Part of the body is to build one another up. Well, they're just kids. Doesn't matter. They're still part of the body. They've all been exposed to the truth. The Holy Spirit is the same in you and me as it is in them. So we are called to build up our brothers and sisters. We're meant to pray for them. It doesn't matter how old they are. So we're going to have that. Hopefully, maybe by next week, we can have those out back. Okay? So, speaking of drying up your spiritual life. Okay, then what happens? If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away. The branch dies, and they gather them. Okay? The world and the spiritual forces are picking them up then. If you're not walking with God, who are you walking with? Scary thought. Especially after we went through the demonic realm and the fallen angels the last month. It's a scary thought. Who are you walking with? Who are you walking for? Who are you representing? If it ain't Jesus, it's the enemy. So what are they going to do? They're going to gather you up. Satan can't wait to sift you like wheat. He's walking around, roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking people to whom he can devour. That's you. That's me. That's what he's doing. So if we're not walking in fellowship, what are we? We covered, remember we covered demon possession. We cannot be, if you've indwelt with the Holy Spirit, which we're clean. We said that we had the bath. I can only wash your feet because you're already clean. It means the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is indwelling in you. Okay? It's our choice to push him down or to let him work through us, meaning that house is full. Meaning that there's no vacancy for a demon to come in. That is the thing about accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, what it protects us from. Because the Holy Spirit can have no part of the demon possession. But we can be influenced by the things of the world, by the enemy, by the demonic forces. They're real. Very real. And that's something that we have to know. That by not allowing the Holy Spirit to abide in us, for us not walking in fellowship, we are subject to that oppression. It's easier for us to be affected by it. So, the world and the spiritual forces go against you. Then what happens? And cast them into the fire. That's our loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. We are not going to be judged by your sins. Don't ever think that. Because our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. They're nailed to the cross. They're remembered no more. Our sins do not follow us into heaven. We're not going to go up there. There's not going to be a TV and it's not going to show Matt and all the stupid stuff he did. Because God forgot them. They're gone. Okay? So don't ever live in that guilt and that shame and that fear that your sin is going to follow you in heaven and affect you in heaven in the presence of God. It's not. They're gone. It's no more. Shame, guilt, and that fear and that doubt that that's going to happen is from the enemy because it takes your mind and plays games with you and allows you not to do things that glorify God because you're so stuck in the doubt and the fear of what your past did to you. That stuff's gone. It's wiped away. Remember? Wiped. Gone. Over. Done with. No more. You can't find it if you wanted to. God remembers it. No more. But He will say, hey, I had this for you. I gave you this opportunity. I gave you all of those kids to witness, to reflect me to, and you were too big of a moron to be able to do that because you were too busy thinking what everybody else thought, or you did it for this purpose, or you did it so people saw you, or people thought it was cool, or whatever excuse we always come up with, or really what our heart tends to try to pull us into to get us off of that. I want to bring glory to me, not to God. That's what we say. That stuff, those opportunities, and God said, I have this. The Bible someday, maybe we'll get into rewards. There's plenty of things that God has setting aside for us for glorifying Him for our life. And when we get to heaven, we're going to be able to see those. Then we're going to be able to take those rewards, and the Bible talks of crowns as some of these rewards. We're going to be able to have an opportunity to lay them at our Savior's feet. How are you going to feel when you don't have anything to lay at His feet? We're still going to be there. Obviously a good thing. But how is it going to feel when we don't have anything to lay at our Savior's feet? Because He's going to say, this I had for you, but instead it's that wood, hay, and stubble, that poof, there's a match and it burns up and it's gone like kindling. Because you wasted the opportunity that I gave you to be able to be a witness for me. Do you know that being a witness for Him doesn't mean that you have to go across seas, doesn't mean that you have to stand here, doesn't mean that you have to do youth groups, doesn't have to mean you have to do anything. The only thing you have to do is shut yourself down. Let the Holy Spirit work. Let it abide in you like He's meant to, what He wants to do. That's the purpose of what He's doing. He wants you to be able to trust Him. He wants you to step back and say, okay, God, I'm okay with it. We failed. I failed. She did really good. Failed miserably at that this week. Good thing I have my wife. There's things that come up that you just look at and say, yeah, I get it all. I said that to her. I get it all. I can read it. I can quote it to you. But I still can't make it make sense. I still can't get over that hump. That's because I was choosing to let doubt and fear creep in on my situation and saying, God, you can't handle this. God, you can't do that to me. You can't do that to my family. That was my choice to say those words and to have those thoughts. That was the doubt. We can't have the doubt. If you abide in me, verse 7, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Whatever you wish will be done because He's abiding in you, which allows you to be in tune with the will of God. That's why. You mean I'm going to wish I want a new car sitting outside. Probably not the will of God for me to have a new car sitting outside when I walk out there. He's not Santa Claus. He's not a genie in a bottle, and so often we use Him for a genie in a bottle. I can't get out of this problem. I haven't seen you for thousands of years. You've been buried in the sand because I chose to put you there. But now I need you, so I want to dig you back out. I want to rub you, and I want to get my wish out of you. How often do we do that? a lot. We don't abide in him. We don't have fellowship. So then we can't see in this situation that I'm in, the questions that I was having, the doubt that I was having. I wasn't speaking to my wife like the will of God. I wasn't praying in the will of God, because my way was not what God's way was in that situation. Matthew 7:7 tells us to ask, seek, and knock. That is what we are to do. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Okay? In our life, you've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's Revelation chapter 3:20. It's not a salvation verse. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. That's us. That's the things we do. That he's saying, hey, guess what? I'm right here. You need me right now. I can see it. I need you, or you need me. You're not going to do this alone. It's going to be a lot harder than what it seems to be. How thick-headed are we that we don't hear those knocks? Thankfully, God is generous enough to take off the punching gloves sometimes and just punch us instead of knocking on us to wake us up. Because he loves us enough. That's pruning. Pruning hurts. But it's good for us. Because it allows us to see his faithfulness. It allows us to see that these words that he speaks are real. It allows us, in 14:27 says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled. That's what he's trying to do. He sees what we're going to be in if we do not allow him to abide in us and we do not walk in fellowship with him. We're going to be troubled. Jesus discloses himself to us. 14:21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he loves me will be loved by my Father, and will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. So if, let's see if I got to jump ahead, I'm not going to. Jesus discloses himself to those who obey his commands. That's his fellowship. That's fellowship. He will disclose himself to you. So, the thought, always think of the backside of that. If he discloses himself to us, if we're walking in his command, in obedience to him, what does he do if we don't? It's always twofold. Well, he's not going to disclose himself to you. Because he's only going to disclose himself to us if we're walking in obedience to him. Well, God, you never help me. You're never faithful to me. Your promises are all lies. You don't help me when I need it. Whose fault? Ouch. Sometimes it's mine. Because I'm not walking in obedience. I'm not walking in fellowship with him, allowing him to disclose himself to me. So of course I'm not going to see him. Eight times from chapter 13 to chapter 17, it says that he loves you. He loves you. Know that. That's what disclosing himself is. Because the stuff that he does for us, to us, allows us to go through, he does that because he loves you. Because he needs to prune all that junk off of you. So you can bear better fruit. Better, healthy. What does fruit do for people? Feeds them. I love frozen pizza. I haven't frozen pizza forever. I ate so much of it yesterday, I about got sick off of it. What's better for me, frozen pizza or fruit? Fruit. What's better for me to produce and eat fruit? What is it better for people around you to eat? Little Debbie's or apples? That's what fruit is. We are to produce our fruit for other people. Because how are other people going to see God if they don't see it in you? It's going to be hard. Because it's a dark world that doesn't want them to. Verse 8, and here's our goal. My Father is glorified by this that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Our goal is to glorify the Father. That is our goal. The original language for the word glorified is to be praised or magnified. Why do we get a magnifying glass out? To fry an ant or to see better? We get it out to see better, right? So by glorifying the Father, the original language is so he can be magnified. Our goal is to magnify the Father. Make him be seen. It's for people to see and know him. It's a win-win. It's a win for us spiritually, because if we glorify him, that means that we're walking in the Spirit. That means that we can have that love, peace, and joy, and that comfort. So it's a win for us, but it's also a win for other people, because they get to see what? They get to see Jesus because of you. Just as the Father has loved me, in verse 9, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Commandment. Okay, because this is hard, especially, I think, sometimes for us men. I don't want to listen to nobody else. I don't want to look like the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to honor God and I'm supposed to have no other idols and I'm not supposed to do that. It's him. But that's hard to do because I'm not supposed to worship anything. So it feels wrong sometimes, even when we turn that worship to God, it can feel wrong because we're confused. We're like, I can't, it's not in me to do that because I'm my own man. Is their thought that we're not going to submit to somebody. We're not going to be under somebody's authority. It's hard for us to do. So when we hear these words, commandments, that feels hard sometimes. Like I'm not supposed to follow. I know it's you, God, but you're telling me not to follow anything. So how can I follow you if you tell me not to follow anything? It's hard for me to do. So the original language for the word commandment maybe makes it a little easier because it did for me. It's order or requirement. If you keep my requirements, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's requirements and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. You want peace? You want a calm heart? You want joy? Guess what the requirement is? Fellowship with Jesus. It's not a command, it's a requirement. You want that stuff. Jesus says, okay, I have that for you. The requirement to get it, the requirement to walk in it, the requirement to live in it, the requirement to feel it and use it. Abide in me. Be in fellowship with me. I'm not telling you, because the commandment we look at so often, I command you to stop. So we can take that out of context. Requirement. Remember what he's saying. He said, this is a running conversation. And he's telling his disciples, all of this stuff that the world is going to get into, that the world's going to do with you, that they're going to treat you like, that they're going to throw at you, you want to make it through it? The requirement is me. The requirement is walking in fellowship with me, abiding in me, letting me work in you. That's the requirement. Otherwise, guess what's going to happen? You're going to crash and you're going to burn. We've been there. So these things I've spoken to you in verse 11, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Made full is what? Lacking nothing. John 10:10 tells us we have abundant life. We lack nothing. When we walk in fellowship with Him, there is nothing else that we need. That basin is full. We lack nothing. That doesn't mean we need Jesus and something else to get through our day. I don't need Jesus and this. I don't need Jesus and this to go right in my life. I don't need Jesus and this person to be in my life. I don't need Jesus and this situation to happen for me to have joy, peace, and comfort. That's the wrong attitude. You need Jesus and Jesus alone. There's nothing in this world. There's no room for anything in this world in your basin because it's already full. When you walk in fellowship with the Spirit of God, there's no room for anything else. It's full. He just said it. It's lacking nothing. Jesus doesn't say, hey, guess what? You know, everything I did on this earth was almost enough. I require you, I command you to go out and do this so that way you may be made full. You're going to have to go out and preach on street corners. You're going to have to go work at youth groups. You're going to have to do camp. You're going to have to do all of this stuff to be made full. Wrong. It's it. Submit to Him. Shut yourself off. Colossians, the whole book of Colossians talks that we die to ourselves, that we circumcise our flesh. Cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. Because that's what continues to grow and produce bad fruit. Our flesh does. But He's saying, allow me to work in you, and I will continue to make you grow, which will then in turn produce good fruit, which will then bring glory to God for your life and for those around you. We'll quit there. So as we go out of here this week, that's our challenge. That's the thing God spoke to me this week, to say, what am I doing? Am I bringing glory to you? Am I magnifying you in a good light or a bad light? It's another way to think about it. The greatest cause of atheism in the world today are Christians who honor Him with their lips but deny Him with their life. That is simply what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable. It's called hypocrisy. Because we choose to magnify God in a way that doesn't match our life. Father, we thank You for the opportunity this morning. We thank You for Your words. We thank You for Your... Thank You for giving us the opportunity to just abide in You, to have You live in us is something that we don't comprehend so often. But I just ask as we go out and do our week that we can allow You to just work through us, just to help us through our situations and our days. Help us to rely on You. Help us to call upon Your name when trouble comes instead of trying to fix all of our problems ourselves. We just thank You for just the simplicity of salvation, that we just have to trust that you're enough, that You satisfied that sin offering for us, that was enough in God's eyes. And we just thank You for the simplicity. So all we have to do is trust that You're enough, that the blood that You shed on that cross wiped away every sin that we ever did in the past, that any sins that we're doing now or anything that we continue to commit in the future, that Your blood wiped it all away and God sees us as holy, pure, and righteous. We thank You for that. We ask that You just convict us as we walk through our week. If there's areas that need pruning, that You may get the shears out, that You may prune us where needed, that You allow us just to work in confession, to be able to allow your Spirit just to guide us so others around us can see the hope that is in that is within us and just such a crazy world that we live in. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.